people down in Houston and in Florida this morning dealing with the aftermath of a hurricane and now also dealing with a hurricane coming. And of course, there's some that have been dealing with this aftermath of Irma too. But just thinking especially of those people in Florida and those who have already trying to get out of the way and those who may be stuck in the way, Father, we just lift them before you and pray for safety for them, also praying for the emergency personnel as they will be helping out there also. Father, just also how blessed we are in this part of the country. We've had to endure some smoke, but we're pretty blessed when it comes to weather, and just give you praise for that. And also thinking of those who are out there fighting the fire still too, just praying for safety for them. Father, we would pray for some rain, that you just might bring some rain to help deal with those fires, some cooler weather, and that you would just get those out. And Father, pray this morning that you will help us to have ears to hear your voice, that as your Holy Spirit prompts us, that we would be willing to obey, be willing to act how he would call us. And Father, I pray that you just help me to speak forth your word accurately and boldly. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be in Mark. We're going to start chapter 7 today. But just by way of a little bit of introduction, there are those in the world that would say we need to be tolerant. And yet it's interesting because a lot of those that say we're to be tolerant aren't very tolerant. kind of somewhat ironic. There's many times that, you know, the world looks at those who are, you know, kind of weak and maybe kind of wimps and compromising and thinking that's how we should be. But yet we need people in the world that are bold, that are willing to stand, that are willing to be the heroes and stand up. Those of us who may be looked at as intolerant are considered ignorant and arrogant and bigoted. Yet, again, like I said, those who call some of us intolerant are just as intolerant. It's just that we don't believe in the same point of view. We don't agree with their point of view. We look at Jesus as he went on this earth and dealt with people. And how did he deal with people? You know, his initial approach was pretty gentle. He didn't really have much conflict with people from his part. There was people who conflicted with him, but he kind of avoided those situations mostly. That was not part of what he was doing in the first part of his ministry. He was all about proclaiming the truth of the gospel. And if he felt like conflict was arising, he usually tried to divert it and move on to something else. But as we're going to see this morning, his ministry is starting to change. Jesus is going to get more confrontational. He's going to confront the religious elite. He's going to confront them about how they have distorted the original covenant with Abraham, how they have become a legalistic cult that made up a bunch of new rules to follow, to the point where he is literally going to call them hypocrites. He's going to get in their face finally. So open your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 13. Mark chapter 7, 1 through 13. Thanks, Carol. At least there's one person. Okay, that was not Bible pages. I can tell the difference. You know, I've always wondered, why don't they make Bibles with real paper? You know why? Because they'd be like this thick. It'd be nice, though. All right, Mark chapter 7, 1 through 13. The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him, and they had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews who do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of elders, and when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves, and there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as washing cups and pitchers and copper pots. The Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Jesus, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? And Jesus says to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God. You hold to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have would help you is Corban. That is to say, it's given to God. You no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. So these Pharisees, these scribes, they've come from Jerusalem. They're not the local guys. They've been sent to try to deal with this Jesus, who they feel is causing problems. They come to confront him. Now, the Pharisees were those who, at one time, would have been considered loyal nationalists, that they would have been devoted to the law. But what happened was, is they started making all these additions, and Jesus alluded to this, the traditions of the elders. In fact, in the very last sentence there in chapter 13, and you do many things such as that. They had come up with 600 plus rules that people needed to follow. And this was part of it. Well, you got to wash your hands a certain way. You got to wash all the utensils. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. And then there were the scribes. The scribes would have been highly skilled at reading and writing. They were kind of the knowledgeable elite. They were copiers of Scripture. They were the ones that would copy and pass on the Scripture. They were very knowledgeable of the law. They were able to explain and apply it. Yet what happened is they also got off track. They're right along with the Pharisees. They're putting themselves up as the religious elite. They're far above everyone else, and they kind of look down on everybody. They came with the sole purpose to discredit Jesus, because Jesus had been making them look bad. Because Jesus' message was the good news of the gospel, that he came to this earth to die and to save sinners. He didn't come with all these rules and all these regulations. And of course, the people are following after him. They're seeing the miracles and all the things that he's doing. But also, the thing that really strikes the people is he speaks the truth with authority, not as their teachers do. So they could see a real difference. One of the things that James does here, so verses 3-4, is kind of an explanation that's possibly put in there for the Gentile readers. You know, if they had just said, you know, he'd left that part out and just talked about, you know, being unwashed, it wouldn't have made as much sense. So he sticks it in there to help us that wouldn't understand the law and what all the Pharisees did, to help us have a better understanding. It's kind of interesting, though, that this is really a relatively minor offense, and yet this is what they're using to come after him. Back in Mark chapter 3, verses 1-6, we see an issue that Jesus had with the Pharisees. Mark 3, 1-6, it says, he, Jesus, entered again into the synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. He said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he said to them, speaking to the religious elite, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. After looking around at them in anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately, began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Here's Jesus, who comes into their midst. He heals someone, and they're trying to figure out how to destroy him. Because why? Because he made them look bad. In fact, you might remember this from when we were in chapter 3, the Herodians were people the Pharisees wouldn't associate with, because they were Jews who went with Rome and followed after what Rome was doing. And so they would have been almost like Gentiles to the Pharisees, except they hated Jesus so much, they were going to conspire with them to try to eliminate him. One of the things that people will try to do to get rid of somebody is they will discredit them publicly and then dispose of them physically. And that's exactly what the religious leaders did. They discredited Jesus publicly, even though it was trumped up, there was no truth to it, so that they could dispose of him physically. Jesus then responds to them. Jesus becomes much more confrontational, and he says, "You hypocrites." I mean, no one would think to speak to the religious leaders that way. But Jesus does, because he knows what's in their heart. He knows what they're doing. And then he comes at them with scripture. Isaiah, this is from Isaiah 29:13. It says, "The Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me. And their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote." This was Isaiah speaking all that time. They were doing the same exact stuff, the same stuff that the Pharisees were doing. So he speaks scripture. The religious leaders had skewed God's word. It's always kind of baffled me that why in the world would you come up with 600 different rules to follow? I mean, that makes no sense. But yet, that's what they've done. You look at other religions in the world, they do the same thing. They make all these rules. Well, you have to do this and do this and do this and do this to try to please God. And yet Jesus now is coming to say what the Old Testament had already said. How do you please God? By serving him and obeying him, not by following all these rules. So as we take some of this and try to apply it then in our own lives, the rules apart from God's word. We don't need rules. We just need to follow God's word. We need to see that God is a loving God and that he wants to take care of us. He wants us to love him. In Samuel 15:22, Samuel is speaking to Saul because Saul has messed up. And he says, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." And you think about Samuel saying this at a time when they're still doing the sacrifices. And Samuel is saying the best thing to do is to obey God, to follow him, not the sacrifices. Jesus says to them, "You hypocrites. You're saying one thing, you're doing another." We need to make sure we examine ourselves first. We need to look at our own lives before we can confront maybe someone else. In Luke Luke chapter 6, excuse me. Wonder what's been in there this week. In Luke chapter 6, verse 42, some of you are probably rather familiar with this. Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? But it goes on. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. So many times we hear the first part of that verse. Well, you got a log in your own eye. What are you telling me anything for? Well, you deal with your own, and then you can deal with your brother. It doesn't say not to do it. It just says you need to make sure that you examine yourself first. And then biblical freedom and liberty. When we went through Galatians, we saw a lot about freedom and liberty. Back in the first century and before that, there was a lot of slavery to legalism. In other words, the 600 plus some rules that the Pharisees were putting out. The people, they couldn't obey them. So you can imagine how they felt. You know, because from their point of view, God was speaking through these men. And God was setting up these 600 rules, when in reality, he wasn't. Galatians 5:1 says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." What was happening with the Galatian church is the Jews were coming in to a mostly Gentile church, and they were saying, "Oh, you guys have to follow all these rules. Circumcision and sacrifices and all this stuff." But no, they didn't need to. And that's what he's talking about, putting them back under a yoke of slavery, because that's what the sacrifices had done. It was a picture to show them you can't do what needs to be done to be right before God. Only Jesus, through the shedding of his blood, can bring about the ability for us to be right before God. Jesus made it pretty simple. When the guy came up to him and said, "So what's the greatest commandment?" Jesus' response, which comes from the Old Testament, "Love God with your whole being." Oh, and by the way, this also comes from the Old Testament. "Love your neighbor as yourself." This wasn't new. And yet Jesus is saying, these are the two greatest things you can do. Love God, love people. Because everybody's our neighbor. If you look at, you know, the story of the Good Samaritan, that was part of that whole conversation. Well, who's my neighbor? You know, because they were looking for an out. Well, not everybody's my neighbor, right? Not from God's point of view. So that we're to love God and to love our neighbor. It's that simple, yet it's not that simple to do, is it? To love God always with our whole being and to love our neighbor as ourself is difficult. And yet, when Jesus came and died for us, he said he would give us the Holy Spirit. When we accepted him as our Savior, he would give us the Holy Spirit to help us live the life that he wants us to live. But we have to listen. You know, when the Holy Spirit prompts us to do something, we have to listen and obey. It's still our choice. It's still our choice. So when people consider us, those of us who are believers in Christ, intolerant, a lot of that comes from their intolerance. that we don't agree with their point of view. There's a class that Pastor Bob just started last week. I would encourage absolutely everybody to try to participate in that. I actually purchased the material, so we'll probably do it again at some point, but it is so good. You know, if you were in it last week, have you ever heard anything really put that way? I mean, it was pretty amazing. And it all comes out of just conversation that we have with people. You know, that we can come across as loving and gentle. You know, we don't have to come after them with the 2x4 and whack them between the eyes. One of the verses that he used was in Colossians, where it talks about that we need to salt our words. You know what salt does, right? Causes you to thirst. So we're to salt our words in such a way that when we talk to people, they want to hear more, or it causes something in them. He talked about putting a stone in their shoe. That, you know, it would be this thing that would just kind of nag at them, and it was all about asking questions. You know, so when people talk to us about, you know, maybe our beliefs, you ask them about their beliefs. Well, why do you believe that? What brought you to that conclusion? So I highly recommend it. It's really good. Well, it'll be starting up again. The second one will be next Sunday, and it'll be be the second hour on Sunday morning at 10:30. Probably back in the classroom back there. So I highly recommend it. So we as people who are followers of Jesus Christ, as we are maybe ridiculed for being arrogant and bigoted and intolerant, we still need to have love for people. Rather than get on the defensive or on the attack, we need to view them as they don't understand. They don't really know the truth. Now, you don't say that to them, but you have conversations with them. I mean, that's really what it's about. It's, you know, building that relationship. One of the things that this guy pointed out was that most of us are gardeners when it comes to the gospel. We're gardeners. We're not necessarily harvesters, where, you know, for so many times you think about, well, that's the goal, right? To harvest. You know, the fields are ripe, we need to harvest. Well, you got to garden it first. And so, you know, most of us we're the gardeners, you know, we're planting the seed, we're watering it. We're not necessarily the harvesters. So that was kind of an eye opener for me. So as we go out in the world, think about how you can have a conversation with someone that might view you in a negative light. But how can you have a conversation with them to try to draw them in to think about Jesus? Think about who Jesus was and why do they believe what they believe? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have kept it for us for all these years, and help us to be students of your word. Help us also to be students of people, that as we're out in the world having conversations with people, that we can view them the way you view them, that you love everybody, that everybody is important, but not everybody understands who you are. And so, Father, help us as we have some of those conversations to enter into relationship, to be able to, as it were, salt, put some salt out there, to cause them to thirst, to know the truth. Father, I thank you for this morning and our gathering of people here today. Thank you for the nicer weather, for just getting some of that smoke out of here. Father, I want to also pray for the food as we prepare to have a meal together here today. Father, I pray that you would bless the food to our bodies, that it would nourish and strengthen us. Thank you for those that have helped prepare it. And just help us to love you with our whole being and to love our neighbors ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.